wonder if we could get now some of your views of Pittsburgh and how it's changed socially and culturally from when you first moved here to now.
Well, this is something that really I cannot voice or what, because I really at no time became what you call a real Pittsburgher. Mm-hmm. Number one, I had no family here. My husband had family in outlying areas, and they weren't in any way familiar with Pittsburgh other than to come in shopping. And my only participation, actually, as far as people in Pittsburgh, was with my children, and not socially. It wasn't until really the children grew up, and it was a case when I did become active in Hadassah, that I got to meet some people, and this too was more on a afternoon type thing. So as far as the changes in Pittsburgh socially, I personally found it a very cold city. And to this day, I still have the hang-up of sitting with contemporaries, and they talk about this, that, or the other one. This one lived in Beachview, and this one lived here, there, or the, and you know, you remember her grandfather had a store here, there, or the other, or my sister went to school with her, and I sit there and still feel like a total outsider. Mm. That there is such a degree of generosity. See, in New York, we didn't have anything like that. The neighborhoods were so big that I've always compared it, especially when I was up in Squirrel Hill with the children and with this Taylor Alderdice, that of living north of Forbes or south of Forbes or whatever it was. Now, say, for instance, living here on Morwood Avenue, if I was in New York. So there'd be a school somewhere within this area. But on the other hand, if somebody from around Margaret Morrison, which isn't far from here, they had their other school, and I would know absolutely nothing about those children. That we had our own little nucleuses right within our area, and there was, and as a rule, the areas too were pretty even. And there was none of this, at least it didn't affect me, vying of knowing what your father did or what your mother did. And when my children started coming home from school with the kind of gossip and the part of ripping sweaters to turn the backs down to see what the label was, I was really, it was totally strange to me.
Could you give us some idea of your view of Jewish life in Pittsburgh and its place in the general community of Pittsburgh?
Well, I personally, I think I'm the wrong one to ask, because I still have my deep feelings from my past. In Pittsburgh, the trend in the years that I'm aware of, let me put it, I know there's been a federation for many, many years, but nevertheless, when it came to my narrow view of Judaism, truthfully, was not around the Reform movement. I'm very frank. And while in the Orthodox, and then even when we joined the Beth Shalom, which is, it's conservative, but it's more, leans more towards Orthodoxy, being Jewish was something I don't know. You didn't have to apologize for it. You didn't have to apologize for being different. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to make all my life, from the time I was a little girl and I worked in New York, I never had to apologize for whether it was before Yom Kippur that I would leave my office at noon to go home. And when the others would start leaving, the boss would say, and where are you going? Well, Novak is leaving. It's a holiday. He said, yes, I know. Novak is going because she's going to observe. You stay where you are. And it was the same thing when my first positions in New York. I had to make out fill a application form for a position. And it said, what church do you belong to? And as true as I'm talking to you, I put down Congregation Tikvas Yisroel. And I didn't even know how to write it in English because on the synagogue it was only written in Hebrew. And when this woman, it was a McCrory Stores, she went to give me a test and she was reading my application. She said, oh, you're a Jewess. I says to her, is that objectionable? And she says, well, we try to keep our staff, because when your high holidays come along, art stores are open. I said, well, this is something, it's your prerogative. I says, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I'm not. I did get the position, but I had another interview, and I had the satisfaction of calling her and telling her I wasn't taking her position. But at no time was I in any way intimidated, let me put it that way. And even to this day, I don't flaunt it. I don't feel it's necessary. But on the other hand, when I am in mixed company and questions come up, I've had the gratification at least to have sufficient knowledge and determination in my belief that I can have other people respect me for what I am. And I'm grateful for that.
How do you view your accomplishments in your life? And please, in that, tell us about some special projects and special awards that you have done and have received.
My accomplishments in my life really are of no credit.
Don't be too humble.
It isn't a case of being humble. It isn't a case of being humble. It is really, I'll be very honest, I'm more of an emotional person, and either things appeal to me or they don't. I've been particularly, naturally, always interested in anything for the welfare of children. And as such, wherever I could help, I did. But the biggest thing is that the good Lord has been good to me, whether through my own doing, through my husband's doing, in general, because I will say, I'm not being modest, but I will say, I went to work when I was 15 years old, and it was a case where anything I wanted, I used to give my mother my full pay. And I talked to her, and she says, look, there's money for it. You can have it. So as such, I was never dependent on anyone. I could always kind of, not to say that I could live lavishly, but I had whatever. I was never in want. And as such, that when I was able to do that much more, I knew that my part of me was that I just should share it and not in any way look to see whether somebody else is doing it or somebody else is not doing it. I just do what my heart dictates. And with it, I'll be very honest, my girls have been absolutely fantastic. In never for a moment, no matter what I discuss with them, Their answer is, Mother, you're in your sane, right mind. You're taking nothing. You owe us nothing. Do as you please. So I hope my judgment is good. And I do, as I say, what my heart dictates.
Well, I read that one of your special little things is a pharmacy in the Hadassah Hospital.
Well, this, of course, is, I think, a very natural reaction. That even though Philip hadn't practiced pharmacy for many, many years, but nevertheless, his profession was a pharmacist. And as such, when they were rebuilding the hospital on Mount Scopus, that I felt it would be a normal tribute to him for the grandchildren, the good Lord, those that are there, those that visit, to identify with their grandfather. Because just prior to his passing away, he had underwritten the building of the pharmacy school for the Hadassah Medical School as part of that. So that was natural. And then the other thing was that while he was an avid reader and a well-read man, and in the years that he was a bachelor before he was married, that he would always talk of no matter where he traveled, he would manage to spend some time in libraries, which was the entire exact opposite of myself. I am not a reader. And that was the other reason that in his memory we underwrote the Judaic branch of the library at the University of Pittsburgh. And at the Beth Shalom, we set up a youth library in his memory.
Hmm. You've also been honored by Bonds very recently.
2 years ago. Yeah, the grandchildren couldn't conceive how their grandmother turned out to be the man of the year. As a matter of fact, I must show it to you.
Fine.
On dinner.
That's beautiful. Look at that picture. That's gorgeous.
Sure, that's something.
Do you feel that you have any failures or things in your life that you would have liked to have changed?
Oh, I suppose someone like myself, I kind of feel, whether it was my doing, my environment in my younger years, that there was a lot I probably could have done and should have done much before getting started later in life.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be content that at least I'm still able to do it. And if I can in any way help the next fellow or see, help to reason with them and have the children continue with their faith as Jews and to remain as Jews, in this here changing world, I'd be content.
That's nice. Is there any other information that we haven't come across that you would like to add or cover?
No, really. I mean, talking about this, I don't know whether you ought to take this, but I had occasion a couple of months ago, of having dinner at Marilyn's, and someone had called Stevie about joining a youth group. That's the oldest one. He just turned 17. And I heard him turn this, whoever it was, down on the phone. I says, when he came back, I says, Steve, what was that all about? He says, oh, he says, there's some sort of a Jewish youth group. He says, I have no time for it. I am too committed and I'm too this. And he says, and then on top of it, Graham, I'll be very honest with you. He says, I know. He says, I was bar mitzvahed, I was confirmed. And you tell me I'm Jewish, but I don't feel Jewish. I says, oh, I says, I'm glad at least you say it out in the open. I said, Steve, this is your time to challenge. You have every right to feel the way you do. And I says, but at least you say it openly. I said, but on the other hand, I think you should have an open mind to, if you don't know who you are, to try to find some answers. I said, because if you don't find the answers, I said, there's somebody out in this here lousy world that's going to give you the answers. I said, you don't feel Jewish. I said, true, you go to Shady Side and you have mixed emotions. I said, but regardless of whether you're in Shady Side or wherever you are, you don't feel Jewish, but the next guy's going to tell you you're Jewish, so you may as well find out now. He says, you know, Grandma, you've got something. P.S. Post-confirmation, he's very active with the youth group and goes to Sunday school, works in the office. Yesterday, he and his brothers were very main participants in the Purim Carnival. But it's easier if they open up that you could at least, and in that respect, I think I have been fortunate to have some answers.
It's also fortunate that you have that kind of rapport with your grandchildren.
Well, I'll be there. It's been fairly comfortable. Mm-hmm.
It's very good. We thank you very much.
Well,
it's
my pleasure.
It's been my pleasure learning about you. Mm-hmm.